Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. Speaking of optimizing performance, we now have trained AI and support agents ready to help you close more deals, reduce expenses, and free up your time for higher value tasks. To learn more, go to anabots.ai. Once again, that's anabots.ai. Today's guest is Neil Twa. He is a force to be reckoned with in the world of e-commerce and entrepreneurship. A former Fortune 500 management consultant with IBM, he left the corporate world in 2007 to forge his own path, starting with a management consulting firm and eventually co-founding Voltage Holdings. Today, Voltage isn't just any consultancy. It's an elite Amazon growth machine, helping brands launch, thrive, scale, and even exit or acquire with their unique skin in the game approach. Neil, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
The key to getting stuff done is to know the difference between masking activity as productivity. And I think we can do that in the idea that we're really busy, we don't have any time, we can't do that. So it makes us look like we're productive, but in actuality, we're just bad at time management. So the thing that I want to say about that, and the thing I have to teach my children who are growing up now 15 and doing things and wanting to get involved in the business, is if we are asked to do something or you need to do something, do it as quickly as you can. If you cannot, write it down. And if necessary, make a memory mnemonic of it to remind yourself to get it done, or ask someone else to help you get it done. Because we're not always very good at time, and time management is one of the biggest things we do. And when it gets down to time, we all have so many hours in the day, and excuses about time are really just that. They're excuses. So your opportunity begins at the end of your excuse, which means you should understand that the opportunity to use time as an asset is what you should get from this entire call, I hope, today. And that is really that you choose the way you want to use time. And if you're not choosing to use your time correctly, it is still your choice. Neil, I have a 9-to-5 lifeline. You still get to use your time. You could choose to leave that and go change that time if you choose to. But Neil, I have a mortgage. But Neil, I have this. But Neil, I have that. Remember, the opportunity begins at the end of your excuses. So when you want to get off the tail and get moving, that's when you turn time into an asset. You say, I simply don't have the time for that. As opposed to saying, well, I don't have any time to do this. You change the vernacular, you change the language, you change the outcome. And that's where productivity actually kicks in.
Well said. I mean, it's a man after my own heart here. My number one core value, I have four of them. And the number one, the most important one, is make the time.
Make the time. You choose the time. You prioritize the time. We all do. But Neil, someone else, I've worked for another company. No, you could choose to end that if you wanted to.
Indeed.
We all have choices. We all, like, positive or negative. Of course, there are outcomes. I'm not stupid.
Yeah, no, we get it.
There's consequences to choices.
You're constantly balancing the risk versus reward on that.
You can still choose. And that is where you move from a victimized state of your time and productivity into an actionable and accountable state of productivity and what I call revenue generating activities, or RGAs, that actually lead you to an end result that you're actually after in this time frame you're attempting to get it from. And it starts up here first before it ever ends up here or on the digital world or anywhere else.
Yeah, well said. And one of the things, speaking of, right at the very beginning, we were talking about the difference between doing things, which James Clear calls motion, and accomplishing things, which James Clear calls action. Action creates results. Motion just creates motion and wasted energy. And one of the ways that I like to talk about that is the word busy. Yeah. And if you really think about it, busy is like the biggest BS word ever.
Yes,
it's just an enabler term that we use to say, I'm unfocused, or I'm not prioritizing this right now. And as soon as we fix that in our heads, we start to really realize, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it to your play, little Johnny, because I was too busy.
Yep.
And if you replace that with unfocused, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it to your play, little Johnny, because I was too unfocused. All of a sudden, you have to take responsibility for what's happening in your life.
Or you may have to own accountability to that and say, well, little Johnny, I'm sorry, but you weren't a priority. Now, if you rephrase that language into recognizing what it truly is, then you have to hold yourself accountable. And that's where people tend to want to gloss over that, personal accountability. I would say, little Johnny, I'm sorry, but unfortunately, you weren't a priority. Would you tell your child that? Would you feel good about telling your child that? If you had to tell the truth instead of I'm just busy, would you really feel good about telling them that? And if the answer is no, then it has to start with your heart. You got to change your heart first.
Indeed. And so what are some of the things that you've found, Neil, for somebody who wants to get out of that zone? They want to start their own business, but they're running into tons of resistance. Like, I don't know what the hell to sell. Maybe I want to get on Amazon. Maybe I want to go somewhere else. Where do we even start with that?
Starts with conditional training. It starts with taking imperfect action with the realization that in the activity and exercise, something perfect will happen along the way. Perfection and the idea of perfection is a construct that we've all created out of scarcity. It's not out of abundance, it's masked scarcity as abundance. In actuality, abundance is created through action. Everybody wants to be seen as wise, but everybody wants to skip the knowledge part. They want to go straight from where they are to be seen as wise so they can be 19-year-old life coaches with check marks behind themselves. The end result is execution in time, and doing something repeatedly means conditionally you will learn to find the opportunity in whatever it is you're doing. And from that opportunity, if you're paying attention, you'll see what you're doing right and you'll see what you're doing wrong. And then common sense would lead you to do what? Do more of the right and do less of the wrong. Okay. It isn't that you're not going to fail at certain aspects of any business model, et cetera, Amazon, whatever it is you're doing. It's that you should be failing up, not out. And in this escape clause community we live in called the world, everybody just thinks to fail out of anything that doesn't work the first time. Okay. When I first got into business and launched my first series of marketing campaigns in 2008 and 9 to kind of expand my company, I realized I wasn't terribly good at it, so I kept going until I learned how to do it better and better. And it wasn't until my 301st campaign that I actually started making money. Now, what happens if I given up at 250 and 300? I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you in a very different lifestyle now. I wouldn't be sitting here with a very different business. I would not have. So tenacity and perseverance and
So
grit.
let's talk about, well, there's one thing in there that I think is really important. Your 301st campaign was a hit. Now, consistency, perseverance, got it. Got that. But I'm curious, now that you went and had all of that experience of the first 300 campaigns, looking back, what was the thing that changed for the 301st campaign that you didn't know or didn't understand or didn't get for the first 300?
Let's just say I beat my head on that brick wall until it was bloody. And then I realized I could go around the wall. It was a 2 millimeter shift in thinking, a 2 millimeter shift. It wasn't a dramatic shift. It wasn't I completely stopped what I was doing and said the entire thing's a failure and then changed directions and went a completely different direction. That's actually an amateur move. And I knew that from past failures. So I said, I'm going to figure this thing out. And I just made a tiny little shift in my thinking and the way that I approached the campaign. And instead, I kind of, visually went around the wall that I was continually banging my head on. Because I had created a wall and a construct of failure from all the previous times in which it didn't work and could have said, well, the whole thing isn't going to work. This all sucks. I throw my hands up and walk away. But I'm not the fight or flight guy in terms of the way that I think of things. I'm kind of a hybrid of that. Like, I'm a fighter, but when do you fly? And that's basically what happened. So I realized that I had just shifted the narrative wrong on the way I was trying to communicate with this audience. And I simply said, okay, what if I said it this way? What if I was thinking about it a different direction? What if I just tried a different approach to this construct, a different campaign, marketing, email, image, this one? And all of a sudden it was like, wee. And then literally once I figured that out, I was successful on every campaign after that. Literally, because once I dialed that in, between the offer, the audience, the narrative, and the creative, I had understood exactly what that audience wanted. And so that kind of became a realization that it is so important that you get the right audience with the right offer. It doesn't matter what technology you use, AI or otherwise. I've been in AI since my days at IBM. It doesn't matter what particular funnel you use or what software you're using to funnel people through. If you think that improves things, okay, and you're getting started, you're actually wrong. Just pick one. Just pick one. Your biggest thing to do is to get who you're selling to correctly and get exactly down to what the offer is. So irresistible, as Alex Hormozi says, I'm borrowing this part of it from him. But the other affect is, make it an irresistible offer that's so good they feel stupid saying no to it. Make them
Well,
want what you have, right?
yeah, and there's another thing, like you paint these big masterpieces and everything that you say, and it's all good, But I always latch on to like one little part of that what you're saying there. The thing that stood out to me, philosophically speaking, is that wall. And I think a lot of people that are listening to this right now, they know what that wall looks like. They're very intimately familiar with that wall.
All
They've
kinds
got
of things. It could be your job, it could be your family, it could be your life situation, it could be the business you're running right now, it could be the business you want to start or the one you're in, and you're thinking, man, do I keep going? Do I keep putting money and time, energy, and attention into this? Do I keep pressing forward? Your wall could be a lot of different things you created.
And we're trying because we're stubborn and we feel like motion is the solution, but
Action.
action is actually the solution. But we
Action
feel
is
like
the
motion is
solution.
the solution. So if we keep punching this wall, eventually it's going to come down. But
Execution.
what we don't realize is the wall's only like 10 feet long.
Many of them we've created in our own mind. Many of them don't have anything to do with the technology, the person, the place, the business, because if that were the case, then people wouldn't be so successful in so many different areas of business and life and profession. So then people get down to the beating themselves up, what I call the emotional, valley of despair, on this emotional cycle of change. And they get down and dig themselves into that emotional valley of despair and start thinking, well, it's all my fault. It's all me. And in some cases, you might be right, but that's a little bit self-loathing, self-deprecating. You've gone a little too far down that rabbit hole, right? The wall is typically something you created and you can move. And
That's right.
most often than not, it is your belief or perception of something that has not been revalidated or learned through experience, which is actionable experience. And from actionable experience, you gain knowledge. Right? You move from ignorance, okay, lack of knowledge, into a knowledgeable, aware, and expert in the area in which you're focusing, or you simply lack the ability to gain that knowledge from ignorance, or simply decide you don't want to accept it for whatever reason, and now you're stupid. Because that's what stupidity is.
Yeah, I get it, man. And
You
it all
chose to
this
not accept the knowledge, and now you've reached stupidity when the knowledge is right in front of you and you see it, and you're just really not going to grasp it.
Yeah, and it all leads back to a point you made just a few moments ago. Perfection is derived from scarcity. Action creates abundance.
That's right.
And that's something that's going to rattle in my head for a while, and I really appreciate you sharing that with me. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and who you help and where they can connect with you?
I help people break down walls. I
Yeah,
help them
indeed.
get
Of
two
course you.
millimeter shifts to go around their challenges, specifically in the area of launching, building, growing, exiting, acquiring in the e-commerce world. I've spent the last 10 years specifically as a predominant 80% of channel market for us has been Amazon through the FBA channel. The other 20% has become TikTok Shop, Shopify, wholesale, and other retail and online distributions, television, media, etc. So for the most part, since I discovered that I was good at media buying in that physical world and understanding the marketing and narrative component of driving traffic to an offer and converting it correctly, I then transitioned into being a brand owner and started creating brands around 2012. It took about 2.5 years to get my first seven-figure brand going on Amazon, and then realized there is just a juggernaut of information and traffic and stayed in that. So we help coach people, we train them to become CEO operators. We do it in a bit of a skin in the game format. And then when their business gets to a mature perspective in 3 to 5 years, okay, and this is results are not typical, full disclaimer, I have a team and I've been at this for 17 years, so there's my full result. Is that the business becomes a saleable asset, which Voltage is interested in acquiring it. So we have a mini sort of Amazon aggregator approach to what we do. We are going to be moving in the next 3 to 5 years into a kind of a larger aggregator. We waded through the period of all the nonsense and capitulation and bankruptcies and consolidation of all that crap, raised verbally enough money to go out and buy 50 companies and kind of put it all on pause. We're now going to move into acquisition mode in the next 3 to 5 years, have a roadmap of repurchasing about 50 companies under a different total market environment than we originally had in 2019 when this started. 2024 and beyond has a much different opportunity. But to be very clear, in all synopsis, we work with people, we consult with brands and large brands, we build our own brands and operate our own brands, and then we acquire and exit those brands through Voltage Holdings.
Awesome. Where can we go to learn more about that and engage?
Absolutely. VoltageDM.com, VoltageDigitalMarketing.com. Free presentation with myself and Kevin Harrington's been my mentor for a while, helped me write the foreword to my book, Almost Automated Income with FBA, which you're welcome to go check out at VoltageDM.com/book. It's just $5 right now to grab an ebook copy of that and to learn the four and five basic steps of building, conditioning, what the heck do I sell, go and buy the numbers to profitably get it right, how to brand it correctly for mass marketing. how to get access to traffic channels like Amazon and unlock that 700, 800 units a minute that's moving through that channel. And then sell the business, what we call the platinum principle, build it up to an exit, a saleable state from the very beginning with the end in mind, because they're always worth a lot more when you exit them. So the book is there and the information is there to check that out.
Indeed. Excellent. Well, thanks so much. We're going to wrap from here. Appreciate our guest, Neil Twa, for joining us and sharing some wisdom on how he gets stuff done. For those of you who want to engage with him, you can go to voltagedm.com and also grab a copy of his book. Whether you're on your morning commute, in the gym, or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you're looking to boost your sales, cut your costs, and free up your time for higher value tasks, get yourself an Anabot. You can go to anabots.ai. That's it. So let's get to work.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Do Zone podcast. If you're running a service-based business that's looking to grow this year, let's talk about how we can slingshot you into momentum with a quick injection of cash and sales. Our clients typically see results in as little as 7 days. To learn more about what we do, you could go to factorone.io. Once again, that's factorone.io. We'll see you next time.